The dining room hums with the loud, tired rhythm of a late closing shift. Plates hit the pass line, servers call out orders, and under it all sits the steady pressure of a secret everyone knows. The manager's partner is back again, leaning against the front wall, eyes fixed on whoever happens to be talking to him. Every laugh sounds like evidence. Every quick smile looks guilty under that stare. The staff used to joke about it. Now they watch the door before they joke about anything. A table needs water, a ticket is burning, and still a server hesitates because the manager's partner is standing right in the path, arms folded, waiting to see who walks too close. No one got hired to be a witness in somebody's private war. Yet here they are, one accusation away from a scene that can stain their names and their paychecks in the same night. Chapter 1, the first scene. Friday nights always ran hot, but this one felt tight in the chest from the start. The prep list was behind, the reservation book was packed, and Andre, the manager, moved through the kitchen with the jumpy silence of someone who had not slept. He kept checking the front door every few minutes, like he expected trouble to walk straight through it. Lana watched him from the drink station while she poured sodas and lined them up on a tray. She had worked enough of his shifts to know when his head was not on the floor. Tickets slowed because he paused mid-sentence. He brushed off questions with a quick nod and a tight smile that never reached his eyes. When his phone buzzed in his pocket, his whole body flinched. The door chime rang, soft but sharp in the noise of the room. Conversations stuttered near the host stand. Lana looked up and saw her. Shay, the partner everyone knew without ever being introduced. She walked in with no smile, no small talk, just a straight line toward the bar where she planted herself with both hands on the counter. "Where is he?" she asked the bartender, voice flat. The bartender flicked his eyes toward the kitchen window and shrugged. "He is on the line. Busy night." Shay turned her head and scanned the room. Every female server suddenly remembered a task on the other side of the floor. One busser slipped toward the dish pit and did not come back. The air changed. The music sounded low and far away. Lana kept working, but she felt every second of that stare. Andre stepped out of the kitchen, wiping his hands on a towel that was already clean. "Hey," he said, forcing a lightness that fooled no one. "You could have called first." "I did," Shay answered. "You did not answer." He led her toward the corner near the office door. Lana turned her back and tried to focus on the ticket in front of her, but the voices still reached her. Not the words at first, just the tone. His, quick and quiet. Hers, sharp and rising. "So these are the girls you close with," Shay said, loud enough now that the nearby tables went still. Andre stepped closer. "We are not doing this on the floor. Not tonight." One of the servers, Keisha, froze near them with a tray in hand. Shay's eyes landed on her, sliding from the name tag to the smile she had worn all night for tips and habit. The smile died on her face the second their eyes met. "This one," Shay said, chin lifting. "She always the last one you walk out with." Keisha's throat tightened. "I am just doing my job," she said. "I work the close shift." "Do you flirt with my man as part of your job?" Shay asked. The question hung there, raw and heavy. A customer at the nearest table shifted in his seat and looked away. The bartender dropped his gaze to the floor. Andre put a hand up, palm outward. "Enough," he said. "Office now." He opened the office door and stepped aside. Shay held Keisha in that stare for one more long second, then walked past Andre into the cramped room. The door shut. The lock clicked. The noise of the restaurant tried to rush back in, but the staff had lost the rhythm. The shift had a wound now. In the office, the walls were thin. Lana knew that from the times she had heard Andre's voice while counting tips out front. Tonight, the sound that slipped through was different. Shay's voice cut through first. "You think I am stupid," she said. "You think I do not see how she looks at you." Andre fired back, lower but tired. "She looks at the schedule and the guests. That is it. You cannot come here and talk to my staff like that. You do not answer your phone. Your messages read like you are always busy. Then I walk in and she is standing there shining in your face. I am not crazy." Lana wiped down the counter again, even though it was already clean. In the corner, Keisha leaned on the soda gun and tried not to cry. She hated how her body shook when she was angry. It felt like weakness, like something on display, The other servers drifted close in ones and twos, orbiting the office door without meaning to. People brought empty trays past the same spot just to stay near the thin wall. They pretended to polish cutlery, count straws, flip menus, anything that kept them in earshot of the argument that controlled the room now more than any ticket. After 10 minutes, the office door opened. Shay came out first. Her eyes were bright, but not from tears. She looked wired, like someone who had won something small and wanted more. She walked straight past the staff, then stopped at the host stand and turned back. "If any of you enjoy having jobs," she said, voice carrying, "you will stop giving my man reasons to stay late." She left without waiting for a response. The door chime rang on her way out, the same soft tone as before, now attached to a new kind of silence. Andre stepped out a few seconds later. His face was blank. He scanned the crew and found Keisha. She had pulled herself together, but her eyes still burned. "That should not have happened," he said. "I am sorry." Keisha swallowed hard. "It did happen, on my shift in front of guests." He nodded, but he did not have an answer for that. The bartender moved closer, shoulders tense. A couple of servers exchanged looks. "I will talk to her," Andre said. "It will not happen again." No one believed that. Not fully. But the line had orders stacked 10 tickets deep, and the clock did not care about private chaos. People moved back to their stations. They had to. Rent did not pause for drama. Later, in the break room after close, the frustration finally broke the surface. The staff sat around a scarred table, eating the leftover slices and fries that had survived the rush. "She came in here like she was our boss," the bartender said. "Who is she to talk about anyone's job?" "She is the one he listens to," another server replied. "That is the problem." Keisha stared at the wall and flexed her hands to keep them from shaking again. "I'm not losing my job because some woman is insecure," she said. "I do my work. I clock in, I clock out, I go home. That is it." "You going to HR?" Lana asked. The word hung there. HR felt like a distant office in another city, even though it was only a phone call away. People only went there when things were already broken. "She came into my workplace and accused me in front of guests," Keisha said. "That is not just personal. That is professional. I am calling tomorrow." They all looked toward the office door again, even though it was closed and quiet now. Inside, Andre sat at the desk, staring at a blank incident form on the screen. His phone lay face down beside the keyboard. He knew he should start documenting what had happened. He also knew that putting it in writing made it real in a way he could not take back. On the screen, the cursor blinked after the word description. He rested his fingers on the keys and tried to decide who he was protecting: his crew, his relationship, himself. Out on the floor, the night crew stacked chairs and rolled silverware, pretending everything was normal. But the story of the shift was not in the sales numbers. It was in the way people kept glancing at the door, waiting to see if Shay's shadow would stretch any further into their lives. Chapter 2, The Watcher. The first call to HR went in on Monday morning, just after open. The room smelled like fresh lemon cleaner and burnt coffee. Lunch service had not started yet. The grills were still warming up. Keisha sat in the small office with the door closed and the blinds half drawn. Andre gave her privacy, but the fact that he had to give it at all felt wrong. She held the phone to her ear and waited for someone in a distant building to answer a line that decided how safe her job could feel. When the HR rep came on, the voice was smooth and practiced. Keisha told the story in order. She kept her tone steady. She described Shay's words, the way guests had turned to listen, the way her name had been tied to the manager's in a way that could poison both. The rep asked if there had been any physical contact. Keisha said no. Any explicit threats? She said no. Any prior incidents? She hesitated, then said yes. There had been comments, stares, drop-ins that had not exploded but had changed the air. "We will open an inquiry," the rep said. "Document everything. If she returns and speaks to you again, please let management know right away and follow the incident reporting steps. We will also reach out to your manager." Keisha thanked the rep and hung up. The phone felt heavier than when she had picked it up. She sat there a moment longer, then walked out into the hallway. Andre waited just outside, leaning against the wall. "They are going to call you," she said. "I figured," he replied. "You did what you had to do." She studied his face. Are you angry? I am angry that it came to this, he said. I am angry she put you in that position, and I am angry at myself for letting the line blur this far. The first week after the call, Shay did not come in. People relaxed a little. The jokes returned, careful but present. Shift talk drifted back to normal problems. Low tips, late deliveries, broken equipment. The crew let themselves believe that maybe the boundary had been seen. Then the watching started. On a busy Saturday night, Lana stepped out the back door to drag trash to the dumpster. The alley was lit by a single tired bulb over the door. She set the bag down, wiped her hands on her apron, and looked toward the parking lot. A car idled with its lights off near the edge of the property. She could not see the driver's face, but she knew the shape of the shoulders, the tilt of the head. Shay, the window was down just enough for a figure to be visible. A faint glow from a phone screen reflected in the glass. Lana froze. The wrong kind of chill ran down her spine. She watched for 10 seconds that felt much longer, then pushed the dumpster lid up and dumped the bag. She went back inside and locked the back door out of habit. Problem, the dishwasher asked when he saw her expression. Nothing, she said, just cold outside. The next time, there was no doubt. Keisha finished her shift and walked out with her jacket pulled tight. Shay stood by the hood of the same car, arms folded. You enjoying yourself in there? Shay asked. Keisha stopped a good distance away. Other staff members were scattered around the lot, heading to their own cars, muscles tight with awareness. I come here to work, Keisha said, not to enjoy anything. You talk to him a lot for someone who just works, Shay said, always laughing, always leaning in. You think I do not see that. I talk to everyone, Keisha replied. Guests, staff, delivery drivers. That is the job. If you have a problem, you need to take it up with him and with HR, not with me. Shay stepped closer, not enough to cross a line, just enough to make the space feel crowded. If you make it hard for him, you make it hard for both of you, she said. Think about that before you smile at him again. Andre came out then, holding the night deposit bag. He saw them, took in the distance between their bodies, the way Keisha stood rooted to the asphalt. Shay, he said, you cannot do this. I am talking, she said. You are harassing my employee in the parking lot, he replied. This is not your space. She laughed, short and bitter. Your space. Right, you treat it like a second home. Your little family in there, no wonder they think they have a claim on you. Keisha turned and walked away without waiting for more. Her hands shook by the time she reached her car. She unlocked the door with fingers that refused to feel solid. She sat inside in the dark for a full minute before starting the engine. On Monday, there was another call to HR. This time, it was not just Keisha. The bartender, a busser, and Lana all added their names to written statements. They mentioned the watching, the parking lot conversation, the way staff now avoided leaving alone. The response from HR came in the form of an email addressed to Andre and copied to the regional manager. The words were neat and formal. They spoke of policy, guest behavior, and the obligation to provide a safe work environment. They noted that personal relationships should never interfere with operations. They also contained a line that shifted the weight of the problem. As the manager on duty, the email read, it is your responsibility to ensure that non-employees do not interfere with staff or business. Failure to enforce boundaries may result in disciplinary action. Andre read that line 3 times. The message was clear. If Shay showed up again and crossed a line, it would not just be her behavior on record, it would be his lack of control. He called a staff meeting before the dinner shift. The crew gathered around the front of house. Lights were bright, chairs still empty, the room a stage waiting for the night. I want to address what has been happening, he said. You have the right to feel safe here. No one who does not work for this company should be confronting you while you are on the clock or in the lot. If that happens again, you go straight to me, and we document it. Understood. Lana raised a hand. What if it is your partner? Andre's jaw flexed. That includes her, he said. I have already told her she is not to speak to anyone about me or our relationship. She knows the boundary. Keisha folded her arms. She knows it, and she does not care, she said. Telling us to report it is fine, but what are you actually going to do when she ignores you? A murmur of agreement rippled through the crew. The power imbalance was simple. Andre could write someone up. Shay could blow up his personal life. They were not sure which threat he feared more. "I am going to enforce the rules," he said. "If she comes in and starts anything, I will ask her to leave. If she refuses, I will call security. I am not risking your jobs or mine. Not over this." He meant it in that moment. The problem was that meaning it in a quiet room and holding that line in public were different things. The next weekend, the restaurant hit its stride again, busy, noisy, tired in the honest way that came from service. For an hour, it felt almost normal. Then the door chime rang. Shay walked in, eyes scanning the floor like a searchlight. The room tightened. Andre saw her and remembered the HR email, the staff meeting, the promise he had made. He also remembered the nights at home where every unanswered question became an accusation. His stomach clenched. He stepped toward her. "You cannot be here for this," he said. "If you want to talk, we do it after my shift, away from my staff." "So you can flirt without witnesses," she said. "I think I like it better here. I get to see who you really are." Her gaze locked on Keisha, who was taking an order near the window. The guest stopped mid-sentence when he felt the focus shift. "There she is," Shay said, "your favorite." Andre felt every eye in the room on him. This was the moment the email had warned him about, the moment his silence could become evidence. "Shay, you need to leave," he said, voice steady. "Now, you are disrupting the restaurant and harassing my staff. If you do not go, I will call security." For the first time, a flicker of doubt crossed her face. She had expected him to fold, to try to smooth things over like he always did. The hard edge in his tone pushed back. "Really," she said, "you gonna pick them over me?" "I am picking my job," he answered, "and their safety. Go home." The whole floor held its breath. For a second, it seemed she might walk out. Then her eyes returned to Keisha, and something stubborn snapped into place. "Then I guess we all going to find out who you really are," she said, "because I am not done." She turned and walked out, but the threat stayed behind like a cold draft under a locked door. The staff exhaled in stages. Keisha's knees felt weak, though she kept taking orders by habit. In the break room later, the talk had shifted. It was no longer just about Shay, it was about Andre. About whether he could be trusted to keep that line, or whether his guilt and fear would drag them all down. "He stood up to her this time," Lana said. "This time," Keisha answered. "What happens when she comes back louder? Because people like that do not shrink, they escalate." The question did not leave the room. It followed them onto the floor, into the parking lot, and into the next week, waiting for proof. Chapter 3, When It Breaks. The meeting was supposed to be simple. A quick pre-shift huddle on a slow Tuesday, just the core crew and Andre, walking through the new specials and a few policy reminders. The doors were still locked, chairs were down, tables set, and the music played low. People stood in a half circle near the bar. Andre held a stack of laminated menus and spoke about upselling, guest recovery, and table turns. It was the usual language of a place trying to squeeze profit from every seat. Then someone knocked on the glass front door. Not a gentle tap, a hard, rapid pounding that snapped every head around. Shay stood outside, hands flat against the glass, face tight. She had the look of someone who had not slept much. Her hair was pulled back in a half-finished way. Her eyes were sharp and bright. "Do not open it," Keisha said under her breath. Andre felt the blood rush to his ears. This was the nightmare version of every soft warning that had come before. He took a slow breath and stepped toward the door. "We are not open yet," he called through the glass. "You need to leave," she shouted back, the words muffled but clear enough. "You answer your phone inside here, but not at home. Open the door." Lana watched the scene from near the host's stand. The rest of the crew spread out behind her, caught between wanting to see and wanting to disappear. Andre shook his head. "We are in a meeting," he said. "You cannot be here for this. Go home and I will call you later." Shay grabbed the door handle and yanked. It did not move. He had locked it out of habit at the start of the meeting. Her frustration flared in the small movements of her shoulders. "You hiding behind them now," she shouted. "You think I am scared of a few waitresses and busboys?" Andre felt the weight of the HR email like a physical thing in his pocket. He pulled his phone out and opened the security app. his thumb hovered over the button that would call the guard from the plaza office. "Last warning," he said. "Leave now or I call security." In the back of the room, Keisha spoke up, voice clear and firm. "Call," she said. "We are done being targets." The words gave the whole crew a kind of spine. Murmurs of agreement rose behind her. For the first time, Andre felt not just their eyes on him, but their support at his back, expecting him to act. He pressed the button. Shay saw the movement, saw the phone in his hand, and her expression twisted into something raw. She stepped back from the door, then slammed her palm against the glass so hard that the sound cracked through the room. A couple of menus on the bar jumped. "You really doing this to me in front of them?" she shouted. "To me?" A chair fell over behind Keisha when someone flinched. The room's nerves were frayed and bare. The music cut out as Lana hit the power button on the speaker by instinct. 2 minutes stretched like a full shift before the security guard arrived. He was a wide man in a worn uniform, face lined from too many late nights and other people's trouble. He approached Shay with calm movements and a steady voice. "You cannot be here disrupting their meeting," he said. "Management has asked you to leave. You need to go." She pointed at Andre through the glass. "He is lying to you. He lies to everyone. Ask her." Her finger swung toward Keisha. "She knows how he really is. I see how she looks at him." The guard did not even glance at Keisha. His focus stayed on the person making the scene. "Ma'am, I need you to step away from the door," he said. "If you refuse to leave, we will have to escalate." That word triggered something. Shay took 2 quick steps to the side, grabbed one of the metal patio chairs stacked near the entrance, and knocked it over. It hit the ground with a sharp clatter. The sound was bigger than the act, but in that moment, it felt like the start of something worse. Andre called the police. When the officers arrived, everything slowed into procedure. Names were taken, voices dropped into the flat tones of people giving statements for records, not for each other. Shay's anger shifted to hurt, then to a kind of empty stubbornness. "You calling the police on me," she said as they guided her away from the door. "Over them. Over your job. I am calling the police because you will not leave my workplace alone," Andre said. "Because you have scared my staff and put my career at risk. This is not love. This is damage." Keisha stood near the bar, arms folded, watching through the glass. She felt no victory in the scene, only a bone-deep exhaustion. This was the end of the line, but the cost of reaching it was smeared across everyone's nerves. After the patrol car pulled away, the restaurant was quiet. The crew stood in small clusters, not sure where to look. Andre turned to them, his face a mix of shame and relief. "I am sorry," he said. "I should have drawn the line sooner. You should not have had to push me to do my job." Keisha met his eyes. "We should not have had to risk ours to save yours," she answered. There was no heat in her voice. Just truth. HR arrived in person the next day. A woman in a plain suit sat in the same office where Shay had once argued through thin walls. She spoke to each staff member alone, took notes, read from policy binders. She asked Andre to step out while she reviewed his file with the regional manager on a video call. By the end of the week, the decision landed. Andre was not fired, but he was demoted and transferred to another location. The language was careful. Failure to maintain professional boundaries, inadequate response to escalating third-party behavior, opportunity for corrective training. For the crew, the words meant something simpler. Their manager had let his private chaos spill into their work until it became everyone's problem. Now he was paying a price, but so were they. On Andre's last night, he gathered them by the bar one more time. "You did the right thing going to HR," he said, "even when it meant going around me. I want you to remember that. Your safety comes first. Always." Lana nodded, eyes wet. "I hope you remember it too," she said. Keisha stepped forward. "I do not hate you," she said, "but I hate what this turned us into. I will never let anybody's relationship make me a target at my own job again. Not yours, not anyone's." He accepted that. There was nothing else to say. Weeks later, the restaurant found a new rhythm. A different manager ran the floor. Policies about guests and partners tightened. HR memos suddenly had teeth. The staff still watched the door sometimes, a reflex that would take time to fade, but the shadow that once pressed against the glass was gone. The story of the manager's jealous partner became a quiet warning told to new hires, not as gossip, as a lesson about what happens when private insecurity walks in and pulls up a chair in a place where people are just trying to earn a paycheck. The final cost was not only in write-ups and transfers. It lived in the way the crew understood their own boundaries now, sharper and less forgiving. They had learned that if they did not protect the door, no one else would do it in time.